turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be continuing on in looking at the theme of dealing with conflict in the book of Proverbs. So we're going to be jumping around, looking at several different passages, quite a few different passages here, but we will read chapter 7 of Proverbs. Chapter 7, we'll read the entire chapter here. Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of his stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, and as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, nor do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Amen. You receive the enticement of folly. So this is not just simply referring to sexual sin, but it is the wise woman wisdom contrasted with the foolish harlot here, the enticement to folly, to live according to the way of the fool, that old nature that is within us. That's what Solomon is painting here. It looks so enticing, but he said the way is, her house is the way to hell or to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. But before we continue in our topic here of the conflict resolution, let us pray together. Father, we do come before you again to ask for your blessing upon this service here and upon the message that we hope to look at. I pray for that your spirit would be here among us, Lord, to convict us where we need convicting, to help us, to encourage us, to edify us, to build us up, so that through this we might be more conformed to the image of your Son. Father, we pray for the Spirit to work in our hearts, to give us that earnest desire to be like Christ in everything that we do, to consciously think that each day, every day, through the day, as we go about our business, how can we be Christ-like? Father, that is our desire. We pray that for the power of your Spirit in our hearts to convict us and of that, and help us to remember that. Father, we pray that you would be glorified here in the service. We pray that if there be any among us who are not in Christ, that they would hear of this way, this one way of salvation, not through our own works, but through your perfect life, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that salvation would come in the dark parts on this day. Father, we pray you be glorified, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be continuing on, as I said, in this theme of conflict, or avoiding, or just conflict in general, I should say. So we spent some time in the foundations of Proverbs here, realizing that Proverbs is not just sort of wise little nuggets of truth or whatever the Thomas Nelson publisher said there that we picked on a few times, nuggets of truth that endure in Jewish culture and also make sense today. It's not just counsel that we can sort of take it or leave it. This is wisdom, which is Christ-like living. We've set forth that Christ, the wisdom of God, Christ is the greater, David's greater son, one greater than Solomon, and it's his wisdom that we are following. It's his wisdom that we glean from this book and how Solomon teaches us, God teaches us through Solomon here, how to be Christ-like in everything that we do. So we've seen the importance of wisdom, that wisdom is what we're supposed to be doing in our life of sanctification, our life of imaging Christ. We are to be in the pursuit of wisdom. We are to be after wisdom. We do that through reading the Word. We saw that. We directly go to the source, read the Word, the revealed wisdom of God, so that we can learn. We do it by seeking counsel from others, so we can go. If we don't know what is the wise thing to do in a situation, we go to someone who we trust, who's godly, and we seek counsel from others. In church attendance would fall under that category as well. And we also we increase in wisdom when we receive rebuke, and correction from others as well. So not only do we go out and seek it, but sometimes people come to us and correct us. So we need to heed that. So we've looked at all of that. And then last time we started looking at the idea of conflict, how to deal with conflict, some of the causes of conflict, how to avoid conflict. So the causes of conflict is always sin. We looked at several verses there that identify hatred, wrath, perversity, talebearing, or whispering, or slandering. Those are all causes of conflict. And Proverbs 13, verse 10 sort of summed it all up. It says, by pride comes nothing but strife. So ultimately it's pride, it's self-seeking, which is what pride is. Self-seeking is the root cause of conflict and strife. So, we see this is another reason why we ought to be pursuing Christ-like character, because the more we pursue Christ-like character and deal with sin in our lives, the less conflict we have in our lives. It doesn't go away, to be sure, but we need to be at least less conflict instigated by our own sin. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that ought to be our desire. So then Romans chapter 12, Paul says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So, and in Romans 14, again, let us pursue the things that make for peace and that edify one another. Romans 14, 19. So we are to avoid conflict, to avoid starting conflict, to avoid stirring up conflict that is already there, maybe simmering a little bit. So avoid conflict. We don't want to be a contentious person that loves to challenge everything, loves to challenge everyone and just create conflict. Nobody likes a contentious person. Solomon says if you're married to a contentious person, it's an upgrade for you to go move into the desert or to live in a corner of a housetop there. He said that life becomes just miserable for you then. He says that being married to a contentious person is like having to listen to a steady drip. He said, so it's like being in a Chinese torture chamber, although he probably didn't have that in his mind, but that's the idea, that drip, drip, drip. It's just, nobody likes contentious person. It's, and not to mention, it's ungodly and it's wicked. So we don't want to be those who love conflict, those who love to make a big deal about little things, or also those who like to meddle in other people's conflict, where you know there's things are happening and then to jump in there to stir the pot to get some sort of a satisfaction out of the conflict. We don't want to be like that. So a few ways to avoid conflict is that the first thing is that not every single time that somebody offends you, somebody does something that you don't like, that you make a big deal out of it, or that you even have to address it at all. We don't want to be one of those nobody disrespects me kind of people, like where every little thing you have to make a deal, you have to, you know, create conflict because of that. Love covers a multitude of sins. Remember, Peter says it. It's the glory of a man to overlook transgression. Proverbs 19, verse 11. So it's noble. It's God-honoring. It's a God-honoring thing to be able to overlook transgression. Not let yourself get bent out of shape every time somebody does something that offends you. If you're like that, you will spend most of your life bent out of shape then, because if you can't overlook things, because someone is always going to offend you somehow. Now, that doesn't mean that you can never address it if somebody has offended you. We'll see that more today. But the idea here is that not every little thing needs to be dealt with. It's a glory of a man to overlook a transgression. If you can forgive it, forgive and move on without having to you know, make conflict, that's great. The other thing then is not to meddle in other people's conflicts. So either by gossiping, gossiping about conflict that you know might be happening between people, and did you hear about so and so, and you know that they did that. That is a sure way to create more conflict, and it's a sure way to ruin relationships. Remember that verse that says a whisperer can separate even the best of friends. Proverbs 16, verse 28. So if we start gossiping about other conflict, we start creating more rude relationships with people outside of the original conflict there. So we don't want to do that. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Proverbs 26, verse 17. When you pull a dog's ears, it gets riled up, it gets out of control, people get hurt. When you meddle in other people's conflicts, it gets stirred up, it's out of control, people get hurt. So conflict is to be avoided rather than to be sought out. We don't want to be someone who loves creating conflict in our own situations, or someone who loves the drama of conflict in others' situations and getting involved unnecessarily. So now, if we were all Christ-like, if we were all perfectly Christ-like and doing everything according to the mind of Christ, well, as one man said, then that would be the new heavens and new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. So, but we know we're not there yet. We have remaining sin. We're interacting with other believers who have remaining sin, and we're interacting with the world who has no regard for righteousness. So we are, and because of that, conflict will arise. We are going to offend others. Others are going to offend us. You know, differences there's going to be differences, and there's going to be times when you know we can't overlook the transgression and move on, or somebody else, we've offended somebody else to the point where they can't overlook the transgression and move on. It needs to be dealt with. Or maybe we've offended one of the you know, nobody disrespects me types of people, and how do we deal with it? They're mad at us. They're responding in anger. How are we going to deal with it? That's today's topic. It's going to be very practical. Just lots of practical steps here and principles that we find in Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture. So first of all, then, is how do we know if it's something that we can overlook, or if we do need to approach somebody and go confront someone who has offended us. We've been offended. Probably the simplest way to determine that is just to consider, if I were to meet that person right now, would I be able to genuinely have that same relationship as I did prior to this incident? Could I genuinely love them, laugh with them, talk with them, have that same relationship? Could I sit in the same church and worship together with them? Or is there going to be something that's keeping me back? Something that you know, from being able to fully, genuinely do that without any sort of hypocrisy? And if you think, you know, I couldn't do that. This is, you know, that there's this feeling of hurt I can't move past without discussing it with them. You know, that there's this wedge in the relationship has been created, and I feel like I can't move on until that's been dealt with. Then bring it up with them. There's no hard line that says this type of offense you overlook and this type of offense you have to to address. You know, we have both. We have the text that tells us if you can overlook it, great. That's a good thing. But if you can't, just as Jesus said, your brother sins against you, go talk to him. So there's no sin in approaching somebody for an offense that maybe somebody else would be able to overlook and move on. There's no sin in that. So what we do need to be careful of is how do we approach that? How are we going to go and deal with it? That's where the sin comes in. If we're going with a nobody disrespects me attitude, that's sin in that. That's self-seeking, and that's the way of the fool. And that's it's proud. We don't want to do it that way. But if we're genuinely hurt and we genuinely want reconciliation, that's the attitude. That's the attitude that we need. Genuine reconciliation. Reconciliation is always the goal in conflict, in dealing with conflict. That's on your sheet, I think, is to fill in. Reconciliation is always the goal. Their apology is not the goal. You don't go to somebody to get an apology out of them. You know, they're groveling for forgiveness. That's not why you go to approach somebody. Your relationship is the goal. Unity. The unity is the goal there. Not just in the church. This is not just if somebody in the church has offended you, but this is just as much as we are able, live peaceably with all men. If there's a conflict and somebody's you can't live peaceably with that person, you need to address it. That is fine. Go with reconciliation as the goal. So we do need to understand that. Conflict resolution is to be sought as much as you are able from your side. Seek reconciliation. Jesus taught that on the Sermon on the Mount. We can turn there. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 23. 23 and 24. Matthew 5. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's another one for you kids. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jump ahead to Luke 12 for a moment. Luke 12, verse 57. Yes, and why, even of yourself, do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge deliver to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. So make every effort to reconcile. And it might be hard, especially if we've offended somebody, who's upset and who's angry and who might not be dealing with it from their side in a Christ-like manner. It's hard to approach somebody, and it's scary, but yet it's something that we need to do. Something that takes humility to do. So we think of pride and self-seeking are the cause of conflict. Humility and putting others first is what's necessary if we are to resolve that conflict. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, that's self-seeking and pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. This ought to be the disposition of every Christian in every area of life, not just simply in conflict resolution, but it most definitely applies there. Humility, nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We need humility. It is of utmost importance. Both sides, both parties in a conflict. Whether you have hurt someone else or you have been hurt by someone, and you know, whether you're approaching them, they're approaching you, you need humility. There's no self-seeking motive in there. No, I'm going to make them grovel. You know, I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to make them try and feel as bad as possible for having hurt me. That is the way of the fool. That's the me first. That's the put others down, make them, put them down, me first type of attitude. It's not desiring reconciliation. It's desiring the hurt. It's out of retaliation. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back by making you grovel and all this. No, that is not what we want to be. We want to desire reconciliation. We need humility. We need much grace to be humble, because we all have that pride in there. But so we have that mindset. We want to be reconciled. We're going to do so in a spirit of humility. Then go and talk to the person. That's what we want to do. Go and talk to them, and do it in person as well, as much as is possible. Don't try to navigate and resolve conflict through text messages, through emails. That is just for sheer practical tips. That is a very difficult way. You can't tell tone in emails and text messages. You can't. Things can be taken very wrongly. It's very easy to say things behind your screen that you would never say in person to that person, but you might say it on through a text message and end up doing more damage. Excuse me, and making the situation worse than reconciling. And so go to see them in person, or pick up the phone at least and call them if you can't see them in person. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins against you, go to him, tell him his fault between you and him alone. And this goes for both ways. If somebody's offended you, go and tell him. Go to him, talk to him. But if you have offended someone else, just like we saw in Matthew 5, leave your gift. If somebody has something against you, so you harm them, and they have something against you, you leave your gift at the altar. Go and find your brother. Don't send him a text message. Go and find him and make peace with him. So going in person, very, very important. That is one of the quickest ways to have a conflict get out of control. Is to try and resolve it through texting or those email, that kind of thing. And then this goes kind of with the spirit of humility there, but using the practical pointers that we find here in Proverbs. Speak gently, be kind. Proverbs 15, verse 1. You can turn there, kids. This is another one for you. Listen up. Proverbs 15. Verse 1, you probably know this one by heart. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And again, this goes for both sides of this conflict, both parties there. If you've hurt someone, and they're angry, they're responding in anger, you don't respond back to that. To their anger with more anger. If they come at you, they're mad, they're angry and upset, stay calm, stay peaceful. And if somebody has hurt you, you're offended, usually this happens, both parties in a conflict, end up being hurt, generally speaking. But again, stay calm, resist the urge to vent, resist the urge to think that their sin and the fact that they hurt you somehow is justification for you responding in anger and vindicates your anger. It never does. Do not return evil with evil. It's never, ever okay for us to do that. And this is, this is, kids, this is good stuff for you as well. This is not just for adults who are dealing with other adults. This is for kids who are dealing with brothers and sisters. There is never okay to return evil for evil. Your brother, your sister frustrates you somehow. They hurt you. That doesn't make it okay for you to yell back at them, or you to hit them back, or you to hurt them somehow. That's not, this is, every day in the life of a child, you have conflict, especially if you have siblings. You have
conflict, again, you do not return evil for evil. So this is simple, this is just, it's practical. We would say obvious stuff, but in the moment, it's so easy to leave, to justify our anger, justify our response because we've been hurt or because they're angry at us. No, we have to remain calm. Now, next thing, hear the other person's side in its entirety before defending or before making excuses or before making an explanation, for what you did. Hear them out. Be willing to listen. James 1, verse 19. Maybe we should turn there because this is a good one that we all need. James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So that goes with what I said before about staying calm. Wrath, anger, never produces righteousness in your life and godliness. Do not allow yourself to become angry. But now going to this, listening to them, being swift to hear and slow to speak. So listen, don't respond, don't give excuses, just hear them out. And often, if you're in a conflict, you hear out the other person's side, you take the time to listen rather than just to give, justification for what you did or something like that. You take the time to listen and hear their side. Most often, you'll probably hear something that's going to change the entire picture. You'll realize something that was maybe taken as a misconception on their part, or something that they thought, whatever it may be, listen to their side, and that generally it's going to change the picture. Turn to Proverbs again, back to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers a matter, kids, listen up to this one. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Something happens, you jump to conclusions, you don't have the whole story, you jump to conclusions and you start acting in response to the conclusions that you've made that may or may not even be true. It's a story that you've told yourself, it's things you've assumed, you're starting to respond to the situation before you heard it, before you have all the details. Once the story, if you respond that way, and eventually the story comes out, the truth comes out, and both sides are hurt, you might end up looking like a fool. He says here, it's folly and shame to you. You'll look like a fool if your actions are totally unfounded in the hurt that you have, and especially if you respond in an unchristlike, in a self-seeking manner. Now it's you that's the one that has to go and respond for your reconciliation and forgiveness for your actions. So we're hearing the entire side. We're not making excuses and jumping to conclusions and responding as if those conclusions that we've jumped to are the truth. And as I said, now especially if you respond in an unchristlike manner, that's a lot of times what happens here. Is that, I keep saying, maybe you're the one who's been offended, or else you're the one who's offended somebody. Most times in a conflict, you don't have one innocent person and one guilty, a villain. It can be like that. That happens for sure. There's times when, but often, especially as conflicts escalate, you have one person feeling like a victim, and then they respond. Their response is they become the villain and attack the other person, thinking it's justified. And now you have both sides of the party both feeling like victims, both been villainized by the other one. There, so we have both parties generally contributing to conflict here. So, what do we do? In light of that, number one thing to do in in this, as we're we approach somebody, we're listening, we're hearing the story, examine ourselves, humbly consider our actions. How did I contribute to this situation? You know, there may be times that you didn't, and that is, and I understand that. But still, look, how did I contribute to this situation? Here's another one for you, kids. We take an honest look at your actions and be willing to take responsibility. So honestly examine ourselves, be willing to take responsibility. If we're so quick to focus on other people's sins, focus on our own hurt feelings, and we overlook our own actions, we overlook the fact that we probably contributed to this somehow. You know, and we see that in our kids so often, don't we? That, you know, there's the siblings, they get in an argument, and you say, okay, you get them here, let's figure this out. You say, what happened? What's the first thing that comes out of their mouth all the time? The first thing is the name of the other person in there. You know, Johnny hit me. It's never, you know, that's how the story starts. Looking at the other person there. So in our house, we say you have to, when you're going to tell the story what happened, you have to start with your name or with what you were doing. So what were you doing? And then they say, well, I was getting hit by Johnny. So you know, they find ways around it, but you know what I mean. We have to be able to be humble, willingly look at ourselves. Where was there sin? Is there sin in my actions that could have contributed to this? Do not only focus on the sins of the other party. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That's the words of Christ. The plank in our eye keeps us from being able from properly understanding the sin of the other one. Often when we realize the plank, when we realize our own sin, then we realize that, and then we can see that, the other person's actions probably were a lot smaller. Just like Jesus said, it was just a speck in their eyes. You know, when we understand how our actions contributed to the conflict. So be willing to examine ourselves. You know, where is it that we are contributing to the conflict? And don't make excuses. Don't make excuses, but rather recognize and apologize for our sin. So this is, kids, this is another one for you on your sheet there. Don't make excuses, make apologies. An excuse is not repentance and an apology. An excuse is simply justifying your actions, why you did what you did and being sorry for that. Now, if you're being falsely accused, it's okay to make a defense. And it's okay. If somebody says, you know, you did this and that, it's okay to say, no, I'm sorry, I did not have those intentions. You can explain yourself, to be sure, but when you're in sin, when you realize, hey, I've hurt somebody, apologize. Don't make excuses. Apologize for it, even if you weren't intentional. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? When we don't intentionally harm somebody, but yet we do it by our actions, somehow negligence or you know, whatever it may be, you know, and that's usually the case too, isn't it? That we get into conflict not intentionally. We're not a contentious bunch. I've said this in the past. I thank God daily, maybe I shouldn't say daily, but just about every day for such a unified body that we have here, and we don't have contentious people here. So, but conflicts still arise, but so often it's because we somehow unintentionally hurt someone, and that's the hardest time to apologize rather than to make excuses. But that's what we need to do. So we hear them out, recognize, you know, our sin in that, apologize for our sin in the conflict, and you know, that is the way to make peace, one more of the steps in conflict resolution. Now there also comes a time, though, when we are in conflict with someone, that when we to know when to yield, that means to know when to say, okay, we're not gonna get resolution. This person is unwilling to acknowledge that they hurt me, or unwilling to, you know, accept my apology, unwilling, you know, so we have to know when to yield. Don't keep pushing an argument, a conflict, and be determined to win, that you're gonna just go until that person acknowledges, you know, their wrongdoing, and that you're just determined to not stop until they give in. We have to be willing to yield, and we have to know when to yield as well. Now, knowing when to yield is you know, just that can be different for every situation. But Proverbs 20, turn there for a moment. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. This is one of your things, kids, to listen to. It is honorable. We have to listen to it all. You don't just listen for these, but these are ones on your worksheet, I think. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. So fools easily can start. It's no problem to start a quarrel, but how to stop the striving? How to know when to stop the striving, the strife, to yield? James chapter 3 says the wisdom that is from above, that heavenly wisdom, Christ-like wisdom, one of the things is that you are willing to yield. Being willing to yield. Pure, peaceful, gentle, willing to yield. Because sometimes reconciliation just won't be possible. As much, from our end, we strive to be peaceable with all men. We strive for reconciliation. Sometimes that person is not willing to accept your apology. They're not willing to... they don't want reconciliation, whatever, you know, they're not willing to accept any wrongdoing on their part and to acknowledge that they've hurt you in some way. You just, at a certain point, you have to leave it. You got to yield and leave it there. Hopefully you've acknowledged your sin and you've confessed to them. If you've done something to be part of this conflict or sin in your life, you acknowledge that, you apologize for that, but you forgive them for any hurt that they caused, and then you yield. It's more honorable for a man to stop striving than it is to have finally argued someone into, you know, recognizing their wrongdoing. It's more honorable for you to just to know when to stop. Be willing to yield if you're not getting anywhere. Now I think we're gonna stop there today. We're not done. You know, this concept of resolving conflict, but we have to. There's a few things that we want to look at here, and it's gonna take longer than I'd like to go on right now, I think, with that. So we will close there. But I do want you to read or to turn to James chapter 3 for a moment here. James chapter 3. I'll close with this because this is a section, I should say, of Scripture that I think we ought to have in our minds at all times here, especially when it comes to conflict resolution. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So what he's saying here is if you are filled with bitterness, bitter envy, self-seeking, just a me-first type of attitude, willing to put others down. He says, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't claim to be, don't claim that you're a Christian, essentially what he's saying here. Don't lie against that. You know, this is wisdom that is not heavenly wisdom. This is earthly, sensual, demonic. This is the way of the fool that we've seen in Proverbs. So verse 16, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So conflict, confusion, chaos, that's a result of envy and self-seeking. But verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So pure motives, that's what we talked about at the beginning. Motives, a pure motive in conflict resolution, that we want resolution. We don't want groveling. We don't want to hurt, to harm the other person. That is not the motive needed. It needs to be a pure motive. Peaceable. Again, wanting reconciliation, wanting peace, gentle. I talked about that. You know, speaking gently, using soft answer, turn away wrath, being gentle, and then here being willing to yield. That's part of that. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So next week I wasn't really following the order here of James, but it's just sort of working out that way. Next week we're going to look at mercy and maybe not so much good fruits, but the idea of forgiveness and that type of thing. But this is the wisdom that we need to have. Look at verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. So that is our goal, peace. Peace with all men. This is the wisdom that we need. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. May God give us that wisdom here. As I said before, we have much unity here, much love for one another, but conflict will arise. Conflict is going to happen. Someone's going to offend. Let us never forget this verse 17 and 18. Well, this whole section here, as we deal with conflict, as we seek to maintain unity and peace among us in our church here. So we'll close there in prayer. Next week we'll look at this in